Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6.03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3.03 p.m. on the West Coast, and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael K. Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Happy Saturday to you guys on this kind of cool and rainy type day here. Well, I won't say rainy, but misty type day here in the ATL, Atlanta. It's Saturday, September the 18th, 2021, and the day on the show Now, last week I had some issues with my phone here, and I hope I don't have it again. So I'm hoping, you know. It's just like the song, he's got high hopes, he's high hopes. Yes, I do. That nothing goes wrong today with the show, or with my phone, I should say. But what we're going to talk about in the first hour, and first I want to say, yesterday I was listening to the Judge Joe Brown Show, and Officer Sam Mason was on. Judge Joe Brown Show is produced by Ms. Valerie Denise Jones. And it was a very interesting topic that they had about this new law that they passed down in Texas, the abortion situation. And we're going to touch on that a little bit. I'm going to piggyback off that a little bit. But also we're going to talk about an incident that occurred earlier this week here in Georgia, in Paulding County, where a 12-year-old boy was killed during a police chase. And it's a sad situation, and it comes to asking the question about the PIT maneuver, when to use it and when not to use it. And according to officers' discretion, in some articles that I read, but I've talked to some officers, and I've talked to, you know, some, like I said, some officers that it depends on the situation. There's a lot of traffic, a lot of pedestrians, whatever the case may be. But what if there are children in the vehicle? Is it still okay, especially when the officers are new? So we're going to get into that also. And like I said, I'm hoping nothing goes wrong with my phone. I'm trying to send some information also at the same time to someone else who wants to tune in. But hope you guys are enjoying your day today. This month is halfway gone. We'll be going into October. And October kicks off the holiday season. Now, I don't know if you call Halloween a holiday, but autumn, you know, harvest festivals and all that type of stuff are going on. And then it swings right on into Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that good stuff. So we're going to get into a little bit of that too. But as I look to see any of the co-hosts that are calling in, when you guys bear with me, I'm not on the board as of yet. I mean, the board is open, and I'm also trying to open up the chat room, so bear with me as I do this. Wow. Just trying to get this information in here real quick. Got a little late start. And voila, I think I'm back to where I want to be. Okay. And we're there. Okay. So, one moment. Oh, did I open up the chat room? Yeah, I better open that up too. Okay, so let me go to the article and read a little bit of it for you. Where is it at? Where is it at? It's not easy doing this on your telephone, to be honest with you. It's a little complicated. I'm not used to doing it. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and read some of the story, and then for you that are listening. It says, Paulson County, Georgia, a 12-year-old is dead after a high-speed chase ended with a Georgia State Patrol trooper using a pursuit immobilization technique, better known as PIT maneuver, on the suspect's vehicle. The victim, a 12-year-old Ledin Boykins, was killed. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So, again, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So, as the story continues, it says, around 1 a.m., a trooper patrolling Bethel Church Road in Paulding County witnessed a speeding Kia Sorento. The trooper pulled the driver over, but the driver refused to lower his window and gave the trooper any form of identification. The trooper asked the Paulding County Sheriff's Office for backup, and a Paulding County deputy smashed out the driver's window. The driver sped off, and a chase started, continuing down Georgia Highway 92 at a high speed. GSP said the suspect, later identified as 35-year-old Charlie Moore, was driving recklessly, and the trooper executed the PIT maneuver to stop Moore. The Kia veered off the road and overturned in a ditch. The victim, 12-year-old Ledin Boykins, was killed in the accident. GSP said he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Moore and the other passenger, a 14-year-old male, were hospitalized for minor injuries. Moore faces charges of murder while committing a crime, homicide by a vehicle in the first degree, aggravated assault against a peace officer, DUI, endangering a child while driving under the influence, having an open container in a motor vehicle, obstruction of law enforcement officer, driving on a suspended license, reckless driving, and several other charges, GSP said. GSP officer of professional standards is holding a internal investigation, and the department's specialization collision reconstruction team is assisting in the crash investigation. So, the guy was wrong. Mr. Moore was definitely wrong. He should have never ran. That much we do know. He should have never ran from the police officer. That I definitely agree. that that was totally wrong on his part. But the question is, the officers knew there was a young man on board, a child on board. And I've seen police chases, and I've seen where they backed off, you know, they just, you know, stay behind them. There's usually, at least in California, there's usually an eye in the sky, a helicopter, monitoring the where the vehicle is. But do you do a pit maneuver when you have a child on board? And are there other stories like this? And, you know, is it the officer's discretion, or is there a supervisor who can, you know, knowingly that there's a child on board and still proceed with this maneuver? That's just a question that I have. And it's sad that this 12-year-old boy is gone when it could have been avoided. Again, I'm not condoning what Mr. Moore did. He was totally in the wrong. He did put himself and others in danger. But couldn't this have been resolved in a way without having to use that particular technique? I know of Highway 92, and there's areas of Highway 92 where the road is not really a lot of traffic. And it was at 1 in the morning. True enough, but I'm pretty sure they're going to say that this officer was not at fault or did not contribute to the death of the child. But the technique, the maneuver did, in my opinion. So that's what I'm really wondering. But was this really necessary? If you have any questions or comments on this, go ahead and hit the number one or dial the show. The number is 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. I've heard some people, I've heard online where a lot of folks say it is totally Mr. Moore's fault that this child lost a life. Now, here's the sad part about it. The young man who died was 12 years old. 14-year-old was Mr. Moore's son. The 12-year-old was not his son. He was the son of a friend of his. So this wasn't even his own child. They were coming from what I understand, that Mr. Moore did some custodial work, and they were coming from cleaning up some places and on their way home when this incident occurred. That's sad within itself that here's someone else's child is caught up in this tragic situation. And I'm trying to see if I can pull up another article on this, because the parents had a lot to say about it. And so let me see if I can find more on this story to hear what the parents had to say. Police chase. Okay, here it is. And this is from Fox 5 Atlanta, a local news station here that I'm pulling up. See if I can take this on some time. Okay, so says that a Douglas family is planning a funeral for a 12-year-old because he died in a crash after troopers performed the pit maneuver that the trooper said was necessary to stop the car he was riding in from speeding. The Boykins said they're frustrated by the events that led up to and caused the death of their son, Ledin, just as much as they are distraught by what they said did not happen in the days immediately after. They said he was athletic, energetic, outspoken, articulate, Anthony Boykins said of his son. But of all the ways the family describes Ledin, they said it keeps changing over on me. The screen does, so I apologize. So I have to go back to the story and find it again. It is coming up. But of all the ways, the family of, why is this backing up on me? I don't get it. The family describes that, and they said they'll remember how much and how hard he loved the most. Quote, he'd say, I love you more and more until I couldn't go up no more, his grandmother, Patricia Williams, said. He will call me every day. That's what the family said he did from the backseat of his friend's parents' car. He said, Grandma, we're on our way home. He never made it home, family attorney Zenobia Waters said. The Georgia State Patrol said they pulled that car over for speeding on Bethel Church Road in Paulding County around 1 a.m. Friday. Charles Moore was behind the wheel, which I already read. It says that a more than 8-minute long recording of the 911 calls documents the moments before the tragedy. Quote, the officers are telling me to tell you to pull over. They're going to hit you if you don't, an operator told Moore during the pursuit. Quote, I wish he would have just pulled over, but that doesn't give them the right to flip that car over knowing there were kids in it, Levin's father said. Quote, he's on a dark road, two small children trying to get home, and the police are aggressive. A black man with two little black boys, Waters said. Quote, I've got my kids with me, man, Moore could be heard saying in the recording. Quote, I've already let them know there are kids in the car, and they're trying to flip me, man, he continues. Levin died in the crash after troopers used a tactic commonly called a pit maneuver to stop the pursuit. Levin's parents, who were out of town at the time, said they weren't allowed to see his body until several days after the crash. GSP, Georgia State Patrol policy, requires troopers to consider several factors, including whether children are in a car before performing such a move. The Boykins clear children were in the car and believe Levin would be alive today had troopers not performed a pit maneuver. Authorities said the troopers are being investigated, which is protocol. The family said they're also concerned about who identified Levin's body. They said they didn't, and an autopsy had already been performed by the time they viewed him. Charles Moore faces a long list of charges, including DUI, open container, and a motor vehicle, and driving with a suspended license. Officials also note that he's wanted out of the Henry County Sheriff's Office and Covington Police Department for various charges. Now, this story is really, as I said, it's really sad that it got to this point. And here's a 12-year-old boy who's gone. And both sides. I think there's blame on, of course, Mr. Moore. But also, I think there's blame on behalf of the officers. I think that they could have avoided doing the pit maneuver. And as I said, I've seen many of police chases where the officers will till or help arise, or they will follow at a distance, you know, just to keep the individual from going too high of a rate of speed. That's just my opinion. I think it's just really a sad story. Like I said, they're planning the young man's funeral, I believe, for later on in the week. And this is really, really tough. So my question to anyone is, do the officers hold any responsibility for the death of Levin Boykins, or is it totally the fault of Mr. Moore, that had he not sped off at a high rate of speed, and was it a situation where the officers had no choice but to use this tactic? I see Janet Davis is on the board. Let me go ahead and open up her mic. Hey, Janet, how you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you, Mike? How's everyone?
I'm doing good. I'm just hoping that my phone don't die out on me or clip out. But so far, so good. I see you just managed to chime in, and I just read the story about it. Now I can go back over again, but you do know about this. I believe I told you about it, and I think you looked it up. Look at all these charges that this man has. I mean, he's got vehicular homicide, DUI, driving suspended license, evading. I mean, they're throwing the book at him. And I'm thinking, of course, when someone dies in something like this, you're going to get charged for it because you were the one behind the, you know, behind the wheel. But they're throwing the book at him, and they're saying that they're investigating. But my question still is, could they have done something else other than a pit maneuver, which could definitely cause bodily harm to someone inside the vehicle or death?
Seeing as that the officers knew children were in the car, they could mm-hmm. have done something different, because I'm quite sure they had his license plate number, and, you know, they could have found him. You know, I mean, even if he left the scene, they still could have found him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Could have been avoided. Right. Because, like I said earlier, California is the high-speed capital of the United States. I mean, it's really no fail for you to go on to Facebook and almost like clockwork. When it's around 12 noon here, it's 9 a.m. there, and somebody's acting a fool on a California highway and taking the police on the chase. But what the police in California do, which I've noticed a lot, you always have an eye in the sky, you know, whether it's day or night, they always have an eye in the sky. And if it's not the sheriff's or the police department's chopper, it's a news chopper, because they want the story. But they're relaying information to the officers on the ground. And most of those officers will kind of back off. But as long as the helicopter is like, yeah, he just turned on 7th Street. So, okay. So they're just going to wait and just keep, you know, towing behind a little bit, not trying to chase him down and this and the other. And eventually the guy is going to, you know, get caught. Some of them pull over. Helicopter sees where they went, you know. They went inside that house, or they're hiding in this backyard. And that's it. You very seldom see, which I haven't seen in recent months, that I've seen chases in California where they just all out just, you know, try to do a pit maneuver or anything. They usually just catch the person, you know, later on when the person thinks it's clear or whatever the case may be, or they get ahead of them and they put out the spike strips and disable the vehicle. I don't see many pit maneuvers anymore out there. It just saddens me that was the decision that they made, like you said, mm-hmm. knowing that they were kicking the car. Because they did have him pulled over. So they had to look inside the car and see there was two kids in there. And somebody made a comment that, and, you know, they said, well, and I saw it on social media, well, everybody want to make it a racial issue and everything. So I'm asking the question, had it been a white guy with two kids, would they have done the same thing? Well, we don't know that. But people are thinking maybe they would have, and maybe not. You know, like these kids.
But we as a black race know that it's the system is against us, because a white person might get a slap on the hand, on the wrist or something. But when it comes to someone being black, they throw the book at you. Where somebody mm-hmm. might get a misdemeanor, you end up getting a felony.
Right.
So I don't think the system is just and equal when it comes to the minorities.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of us don't have that money to be able to get an expensive lawyer to get out of something.
Right. Well, they say this is under investigation, and I truly believe they're going to say, like in most cases, that the tactic was justified. But I'm going to kind of wonder, well, so you're overlooking that someone died, the innocent individual died,
mm-hmm.
and you knew the vehicle. That's what bothers me. And I have to wonder that, and a lot of folks say, well, you know, that's Monday morning quarterbacking, that's whatever you want to say, you know, that's hindsight. But how would that officer feel if his child was in a vehicle with somebody, you know, a friend of his or someone that he knew, and they made the decision to do the pit maneuver and his child died in the accident? You know what I mean? The shoe on the other foot. Would he say, well, that officer just had to do what he had to do? Or would he be distraught knowing his child was innocent of anything? You know what I mean? Just look at it that way. And mind you, it was 1 a.m. in the morning. Well, there's not much traffic out on the road, true enough. But just the fact that there were kids in the car. You know, normally
they charged him with a DUI? Did you say that?
Oh, no, they charged him. No, they charged him for a bunch of stuff. I mean, the list goes on and on. Let me go back. Let me see the first story. It gives you the full listing. On the first story that I read, and let me just go down to it. Where is it at? I mean, okay, Moore faces charges of murder while committing a crime, homicide by vehicle in the first degree, aggravated assault against a peace officer, DUI, endangering a child while driving under the influence, having an open container in a motor vehicle, obstruction of a law enforcement officer, driving on a suspended license, reckless driving, and several other charges.
So,
I mean, this guy's looking at license.
Right. It sounds like he was fleeing because he had a suspended license and didn't want to be arrested. But
mm-hmm.
I still think in certain circumstances they could have still given him a ticket and probably towed the vehicle and told him to appear in court.
Well, also in this other article they said that he had a warrant in Henry County. For anyone that's listening, this was in Paulding County, which is just, well, not too far down the road from Henry County. So he had a warrant out for him in another county. But, you know, that's just, man, that's deep. Somebody else's child. You know. So I was hoping that Crenshaw would be able to chime in and give his point of view from an officer's point of view. And I also reached out to Officer Mason, ask if they can chime in if they get the time. But I don't know what to think of it. I really don't know what to think of it.
Neither do I. Wow.
So we'll get back to that if they make it. And in fact, Timon said he was going to try to chime in. This is his birthday week, by the way. His birthday was on the 16th, I believe he said. So he said that he was going to try to chime in for a little bit also and join into the conversation.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because I'm getting ready for a trip. So I had a lot of running around to do and just barely made it back in the house.
Right. So did you guys decide to go by air or take the ride? You don't mind me asking.
It's gonna be by air.
Okay. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My son made reservations 6 o'clock this morning. He woke me up so early, and I had went to bed real late. Yeah, so, but it had was something that had to be done, so.
Okay, so it's a little quiet here in ATL, everyone, and like I said, this is a Saturday where actually this month was not on the schedule. This was really going to be our month. We were going to take off and come back in October, but it kind of like flipped. Actually, we're going to take off October and look at being back in November. So because right now I'm in the process of relocating, so a lot of the stuff has been taken down and computer is being, you know, moved and this and that and the other. So I'm doing a lot of stuff from my phone. So that's how come I have a little bit of concern about the broadcast from time to time. By the way, in the second hour, Mr. Marquez Gaines is going to join us, manager of various artists. This guy, he's been on our show a couple of times. There was a concert last Saturday here in Atlanta, and it's made the news, and it has been billed as the most unorganized, one of the most disastrous shows ever, and we're going to get into that in the second hour. Oh, wow, with the lineup that they had, you kind of wonder, how did this go wrong? And I'm not going to get into the details of it until Marquez joins us because, I mean, this has went everywhere. I mean, it's been talked about everywhere. I don't know where most of you might live, but at least here in the Atlanta area, it has been a topic of conversation. Demanding a refund. They're demanding their money back.
It's been on the internet, in the newspaper, on all the radio shows. You know, it's just unbelievable how it's been talked about. So even if you weren't even interested in anything about this concert, you found out a lot of stuff because it's been really a lot of bad publicity has been happening because of it.
That is so true. That is so true. Especially right when, you know, when these venues are opening up and people are you know, just rushing to get out to see a good show, you know. People are rushing to go out and see a good concert. There are concerts that are selling out. As I said a few weeks back, Keith Sweat sold out at the Barnes Amphitheater that holds, 2,500 people. And he was the only artist. It wasn't like there was an opener or anyone, you know, in between or at the end. People want to get out and see shows. And this show had an awesome lineup of individuals. Mm-hmm. And everyone was there, but not everyone performed. And it was brought to my attention by a friend of mine that I went to school with, to high school with. And it was funny because he had sent me a text about it. And, in fact, let me tell you. Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of it, right? Personally, I wasn't aware of it. And he told me, and I said, hey, man, why didn't you tell me about it? And he said, man, you would have wasted your money. And he, I'm sorry, I'm scrolling down. And he said, Mike, is there any way, can you get any information on how I can get a refund? And so I called Mark Marquez, and he told me what had occurred. And we talked about it, and he agreed to come on the show and share. This is what my friend said. His name is Kevin Daniels. He said, poorly organized, misleading flyer, artists were of no shows. Which Marquez will clarify that it wasn't artists with no shows. Many of them were there, but they did not perform, and he'll explain why. We purchased tickets to the old school concert last night and was very disappointed. I purchased tickets based on what they advertised that did not happen. We arrived at the event at 2:30. The show did not start until about 6. So we sat there for 4 hours. Yeah, I'm not going to go. and Marquez is going to tell us what really went on. And I've seen video clips of what happened, how the crowd was addressed. Johnny Gill came out and addressed with the crowd. It was just a total bomb, you know. Not saying that the performers were. The ones who did perform, they said, was very good. But, yeah, you know, it's sad when you spend your money and you don't get your money for it. Truly sad. So that's coming up in the second hour, which is not too far from now, a little less than 30 minutes. So we'll definitely talk about that. Shannon, what do you think about this new law that's happening in this new abortion law that's going on that Texas is looking at bulldozing the state with, which they already have, they already voted on, and probably in other states that are looking at picking up on it?
Well, our new attorney general is, I think he filed a suit against the state of Texas because of this. You know, because I just really feel like the red states are really trying to get rid of Roe versus Wade as far as the abortion. They've been trying to do that for ever since it came into effect. And they don't realize how it affects not just the whites, but the minorities. You know, they might want more babies, and that's why they're trying to do it, but everybody else gonna have babies too. It's not going to just come from just the Caucasians, you know. So I just feel like they need to do something about it, because this suit that somebody can sue you for $10,000 if you even just put the person in the car and take them someplace, not even knowing where the person is going, you can be sued. So I think that's just ridiculous. So they got all these people that's going to be pretend bounty hunters out there looking to sue somebody, because they said they can even sue Uber or a cab driver or if a next door neighbor, if the next door neighbor knew that this person was pregnant and was getting an abortion. But the abortion says 6 weeks. Most women don't even know they're pregnant 6 weeks. You know, some, like me, I could tell as soon as I conceive, but a lot of women can't. So, and I've even known some women that were 7-8 months pregnant before they realized they were pregnant, because they thought they had a tumor. And that was they going by the doctors saying they had a tumor. I even knew one person got ready to be operated on and was going for testing prior, and they heard her heartbeat, and then they had her go see a gynecologist and come to find out she was pregnant. You know, so I just think the law is outrageous. They are really grasping for straws for power, you know. So,
right. Hey, Janet.
Yes.
I want you to join me in singing this song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
dear Simon.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you. Thank y'all so much. Thank you for the love. I appreciate it. I was feeding my face when you text me. I was like, oh, man, let me get this last little bit in my mouth because I was hungry. I didn't want to be speaking and food in my mouth and everything end up choking, you know. So, I'm sorry it took me a while and getting around and everything. I'm running
errands. No problem. So you're doing the birthday week thing, right?
Huh?
Yeah, well, before we go to the abortion thing, I want to back up on to the first story that I shared, and then we'll go into to the abortion real quick. We've got 20 minutes. There was an incident here in Georgia where there was a police chase where there was a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old in the van. Now, the gentleman driving, he was pulled over, and he took off because he had warrants also, you know, this and the other, and took off at a high rate of speed. They and this was at 1 in the morning. they went ahead and started chasing him, and they did the pit maneuver. Unfortunately, the 12-year-old boy, which was not his son, the 14-year-old was his son, but the 12-year-old boy died. So now the driver is being charged with vehicular, you know, homicide and just a host of stuff. But they say that the officers use their discretion when to use this maneuver. So the question was, should they have used this or avoided it, knowing there was children in the car, or, you know, a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old?
So they knew. Wait, so let me ask you. So let me ask you. They knew there were children in the car?
Mm-hmm. Because
okay,
the car, they pulled the car over, and they went up to the car. They even broke the window. The guy would not roll that window. Then they what now?
They shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have did the pit mm-hmm. maneuver. Because when you do that, the dangerous maneuver, you know, we have, you know, in L.A., man, we have that stuff all the time. So you
mm-hmm.
got to be, if there's children involved, they will never do a pit maneuver. They will not.
Well, like I was telling Janet, yeah, I was telling Janet in L.A., a lot of times they got an eye in the sky and they'll back off because you can't outrun a helicopter. You know? I don't care what time of day or night, they could put an eye in the sky. And they'd usually back off and just keep tabs of where the car is going. And like Janet said, it wasn't a stolen vehicle. So you got his license number because that's the first thing they're going to look at. So they can always track him down. So what was the –
Or what they could have did was put down some spikes. They could have tried to put the spike strips down. Try to get ahead of him. That's another thing L.A. does. L.A. will put down spike strips to blow the tires, which is still
mm-hmm.
dangerous. But – it's less of a if you try to do a pit maneuver, then you flip that car. Hey, people could go through the windshield, all kinds of stuff.
That's what happened. The car rolled over. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And that's
but
the
now.
You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't charge the well, and then also I get why they're trying to charge the driver with murder. Because if he just did what they told him to do,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't be dead. Just like Trayvon
right.
Martin would not be dead if Homeboy would have did, if Zimmerman would have did what the police told him to do. Is to leave him alone,
right.
we'll get him. But we all
right.
know they're always getting away, followed him, blew him away. Here we go. This guy hits this car. They do a, you know, if he just said, hey, man, gave up, he didn't do that. He's going to try to outrun him. You got kids in the car. No seat belts on. Next thing you know,
mm-hmm.
pit maneuver car flips. You know, somebody goes through the windshield. Now you got a murder on your hand. That is on him. If they
correct.
Stop that car, Mike, and he didn't abide by the rules that they told him, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, now I'm not saying, though, that the police are right for doing the pit maneuver. Because if there's kids in the car, you shouldn't have did a pit maneuver. But,
right.
so it could go either way. Still in trouble. The guy who had the car, he's still in trouble no matter what. But should he be, should they have done the pit maneuver? No. Not with kids involved. And if you knew kids were in there, no, you don't do it. You find a new way. You block off the street, something. But you don't do a pit maneuver.
Yeah.
And like
if
I
you
was
know
saying,
kids involved.
Highway 92 is a long highway. I mean, what? Janet, Highway 92 goes from, what, all the way from Roswell? Well, it goes further than that.
No. It goes further. No. Highway 92 goes all the way down to Florida. Highway 92 goes through several counties. It goes through Cobb
right.
County, DeKalb County, Fulton County, Decatur. I mean, Gwinnett County. It goes through down in Newman.
Right.
I mean, it goes a long way. Douglas, Hiram, you know.
It goes a long way. It's one of those state highways, actually. Yeah, it's a state highway that goes
yeah.
a long distance. And it has some four-lane areas, and then they have two-lane areas. You know, it narrows and it widens. In certain areas. Some areas, they're widening even now. But at 1 a.m. in the morning, though, when you know there's not going to be a lot of traffic,
like Timon said, you know, if this guy is going down, he's not in a residential area per se, because it really isn't a residential street in most areas. It's a lot of businesses along certain stretches of Highway 92, and they could have got ahead of him. Another jurisdiction or another area could have been ahead of him, and like Timon said, put down spike strips, because there's not that much traffic at 1 in the morning, okay, as it would be during, like, lunch hour or, you know, going to work type thing. But they could have put those down.
Mike, remember the drunk driver that was at the Wendy's? That fell asleep in the deal? They could have put him in. They didn't have to arrest that dude. They could have blocked him in, you know, because they got his car. Okay, he drunk. Mm-hmm. He ain't going nowhere. You got mm-hmm. his car. Block his car in. And then, hey, you know, call his, you know,
get him right.
They can get his information, like she said, off his car. That dude didn't have to die.
I said that night. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though he was drunk,
like they do now, they bring out the dog, and the dog sniffs the car, and he is just like a bloodhound, so they use shepherds. And they could have just tracked him down, but like you said, they could have found him because they had his car and had all his information. They could have found him later.
There are so many guys that did not have to die. The boy in Colorado that was on his way home that had the mask on, it was cold outside, and they end up injecting him with some stuff and then stopped his heart. That boy had to say this investigation. Some guys would have walked. They had that
right.
boy down as a criminal. That boy was a violin player on his way to college.
That's right.
And they
gave him medication for a person that was 190-something pounds, and he was only 140, I think they said.
Right.
So that was way too much medication.
And they overdosed. All he had to do was leave him alone. He didn't do it. He didn't even commit a crime. He was walking home in the wintertime. I lived in Colorado. I know our cold would get there.
Yeah.
So these guys, I mean, there's a lot of murders that have happened that didn't have to be. And people say, oh, well, you don't understand. You're not a cop. And like, no, once you've been on the job long enough with me working with criminals, there are ways that you learn, little tactics, think, take a breath, don't immediately attack. You know, find ways to either talk the dude down or find a way that we can, you know, de-escalate the whole situation. You know, that's why they're always talking is de-escalation, because people have been dying. Is it easy? No. But the first thing you should not be doing is pulling your gun, shooting people. They shot that dude in New York who was schizophrenic. He was butt naked, and they put the plastic thing on his head, and he was naked. They put that plastic
that's
bag over
hometown.
There, and they killed that dude.
That was my hometown, Rochester, New York.
Where is that?
Yeah. I said that was from where I'm at, from Rochester, New York, that they did that.
I mean, the dude told it. They called the police for help, and then you end up killing them. Because that's the only way y'all know how to deal with stuff, is choking people out.
And, you know, and it goes back to where people say, you know, well, the community needs to work with the police, but the community is afraid to because of results like this. You know, results
right.
like that, you know. You don't want to call the police on your own family because they might wind up dead. Well, just like the guy, I forgot where it was, where the guy had the knife, and he was shot dead in front of his own mother. He had mental illness problems.
Well, I mean, hey, and what's that guy Castile? He told the cop that he had a permit for a gun, and went to reach for it. He shot it in front of his children and his girlfriend. I told you, I was like, oh my God, you're scary. I mean, these guys are so scary. Why are you becoming a cop?
And then the little girl was traumatized. Right. The little girl was traumatized, begging her mom not to say anything because she didn't want her to get killed.
Right.
You know, that was sad.
You know, I was watching a video the other day, in fact, like I said yesterday, I was listening to the, I tuned into the Judge Joe Brown Show, and Officer Stan Mason was on, and they were talking about the abortion situation in Texas. Let me get your thoughts on that in a minute, Timon. But I saw this one video where this gentleman was pulled over by an officer, and he went reaching for a gun. Okay, now you're looking at the dash cam, and the officer shot three times and hit him three times. But he's yelling for him, put your hands up, put your hands up. The guy can't move. You know, he's shot, right? But here right. comes backup. And so the lead officer is telling the guy, put your hands out the window, put your hands out the window. But another officer is yelling, put your hands on the steering wheel. The other one's saying, put your hands out the window. The other one's saying, put your hands on the steering wheel. Now, he's shot three times, and he's hearing these two different commands, right? And they're drawn down on him. Now, don't get me wrong. The guy, I don't know why he shot at the officer. He was totally wrong, you know, whatever he was trying to avoid. But I'm looking at the situation afterwards, right, the different commands. And then what got me was here comes another officer, and he says, hey, you guys, the radios are hot. The radios are hot. They say, oh, okay, radios are hot. And they get the guy out of the car, and they're just acting, you know, so concerned. You're going to be all right, man. You're going to be all right, and blah, blah, blah. And then I hear it again. Keep in mind, radios are hot. Why do you keep saying that to each other? Your radios are hot.
Because they knew people were listening. And they didn't want to say anything that was going to incriminate them.
What is it that you're afraid of saying?
Mm-mm.
Doesn't that make you kind of wonder?
Mm-hmm.
What are you afraid of saying?
When you're in a situation like that, the first thing you're going to try to do is cover up your tracks if you done did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going by the book, you ain't got to worry about nothing. But it's when you get into those situations that things go wrong, go haywire. You know, when guys try to go in and just who was that? Somebody said to me, matter of fact, I was at my cigar lounge. Guy said to me, he said, do you believe that the guy that got shot in the back seven times, was that a justified shooting? I said, hell no, it wasn't a justified shooting. The man ain't got no gun, but he could have been going like, no, ain't no could be. His kid's in the car, man. You got five cops. Y'all can't take down one dude? That the only thing you can do is pull your gun? You can at least bust him in the back of his head and then put the cuffs on him. I'd have taken that. Then you straight shooting him in the back because you're scared. He's walking away from you. He ain't coming towards you. He's going away from you. That's why that guy in North Carolina got in trouble. The brother was running away from him. He had no gun, and you shot him in the back.
You know what? I got to say real quick. Yesterday during the show on the Judge Joe Brown Show, Officer Mason said something that was so profound, and that got me because he was sharing about how he lived in a house here, I believe it was here in Atlanta, because he lives here, that there was one of the biggest drug dealers lived across the street from him. And the guy was respectful. He knew he didn't have drugs. You know, he was respectful and everything. He didn't, you know, I mean, he, you know, they would speak to each other and everything. He knew what he was doing. They said, that's part of the game. He said, but he said, he doesn't like cops. He said, he likes police officers. And it tripped me out how he said, certain cops are individuals who want to have something to prove every day. An officer is a person who works with the community. He said, and when people talk about officers going home, he said, a lot of times, you got to be thankful that you're an officer and not a cop. Because there's guys that are out there that are quick to offer cop, but respect an officer. And I found it so interesting. He said, when he was policing, say he could go sit on the stoop with one of the neighbors and talk to him, you know, and you know, have a good conversation. That there's, you know, there's times where a person would be looking for a reason to offer cop, or you know, or kill an officer or video a cop, and sometimes the people in the community will protect that officer with the quickness because he worked for the community. You follow me? I found that really interesting for him to say that. He said he know of times where a person would tell another
person. Oh man, he's cool. Y'all don't even mess with him. He's cool. Don't you find that kind of interesting? That's pretty profound. That because he said a lot of times some officers get to go home because the neighborhood is looking out for them. Do you understand that?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, But Mike, when I'm at work, we got certain staff who can talk to minors, and the minors will listen. But there are certain minors that are not. Now those same minors, they'll attack other staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they won't attack those that they know that they respect. And one of the kids said, I won't respect. I said, but you got, hey, if you want respect, you got to give respect. I said, you can't come in and disrespect, and you got to follow the rules. You know, and if you want certain things, I guarantee I'll make your life a living hell up in here. But if you come correct, I ain't got no problem giving you that, but you're going to earn it. And that's what it is. But that's what I'm talking about, the structure. When you structure people in the beginning, you don't yell and scream at your community people. You talk to them. You get away. So if they yell, hey, man, hey, bring it down, bro. I just want to come talk to you. No need to scream and yell. But we got to start there first. And if it goes to escalation, I ain't getting nowhere, then we go to the next level. But we start to prepare. But we got to come in bringing everything down. Let me check it out, blah, blah, blah. What's the situation? That's community. But if you go in and you punching people, kicking them, stomping them, you know, doing, they see you doing something dirty? No. Can't do that. And that's why you call for backup. But you don't come in guns a-blazing. Because if you do, somebody's going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some guys, you got, now I'm not telling you as a cop, it's a dangerous job, and I'm not saying that you should not be prepared. Because you got to be prepared to deal with the idiot. There is going to be those that are not going to cooperate with you no matter how much you talk to them. I got kids at my job that no matter what, going to do what they're going to do. So they get paid. But you always call up your backup, bring in the supervisor, everybody. So, hey, so everybody can write, when they write that paper, we can make sure that everybody get covered and ain't nobody going to lose their job. And we try to make sure that the kid don't get, you know, he don't get to lose his life or break a bone or something, but, you know, you write it up, you know, if they ain't going to cooperate, that's on them. But you do try in the beginning to get things in the right way.
Wow.
And they don't, I mean, you know, there was a black kid at our job that's giving these guys hell. We walked in. Me and my boy Cole, we say, hey, man, dude says, hey, bro, you all right? Oh, what up, man? Y'all OGs, ain't you? I say, you know we OGs, man, because y'all just come in, y'all just cool, man. Y'all ain't tripping on nothing. No, yeah, we just, you know, we trying to find out what the situation is. I said, I told him, my first job is to make sure you all right. Okay, you are a minor. Okay, I am here to protect you. I said, but I'm also going to protect myself, so I'm trying to make sure you're cool. Is there something that you need? Yeah, I need it. I said, we ain't doing no phone calls, bro. You know ain't no phone calls going on at 2 o'clock in the morning. Why are you trying to punk me? Did you punk him? You can't punk me. You know, hey, I know gang. So best thing you can do in the morning, let your staff know. We'll leave a note for your supervisor. We'll leave a note for your senior, that you get your phone call. Now, use your bed. You need some water? Get you some water. Oh, man, I didn't eat nothing. Hey, bro, you had 16 hours to eat. I ain't feeding nobody at 2 o'clock in the morning. There again, you're not punking me. Get you some water. And you can go on back. You ain't got no Snicker bar? No, bro. Ain't no Snicker bars. You want a Snicker bar, bro? You should stay on the house. Get all the Snicker bars you want. You could be eating your mama's cooking right now.
Yeah, that's true.
They're going back to their room, and that's it. But then the next day, they're back to doing it. But who are they doing it to? Those same people that they were punking early.
They know who to pick and choose.
Yeah. But, you know, that's old school, new school. That's what that is. Old school, new school. Everything, Mike, if you're seeing changes in kids today. You got the old school kids, the way kids used to be raised, and how they're being raised today. You got kids where they work to deal where they work today, and where we and how what we you know what we value as work. A lot of those guys don't do that no more. So you got old school, new school that you're battling right now. Old school parenting, old school driving. People getting up, they don't want to do that, and you can't talk to them.
Wow,
that's crazy.
I mean, and
all right,
you know,
well, the time is now 7 p.m. and Marquez should be joining us momentarily. I have to switch over and check and see what's on the board, see that he's been able to chime in. This is really interesting using my phone because I'm not used to doing it, to be honest. Let me go back to the board and take a look. Okay, he should be showing up momentarily. All right, so I'll tell you what. We're going to take a quick music break and come back. Let me see what I'm trying to find here.
Wait, before you move, Tammy, you got something special? You got something special for your birthday tonight? I mean, today?
That's what I was saying. We got, I won a raffle at my job. So I have a two-night stay at Embassy Suites. So I'm playing golf tomorrow with the fellas out in Oxnard, California. Weather's going to be great. I was supposed to go on a walk with a good friend of mine. That didn't happen. So they're doing a little bit of a celebration over here at the Cigar Lounge that I'm on my way to.
Okay.
Yeah, family members, everybody. What's that? What'd you say?
No, I didn't hear you clearly.
I said, they've been taking care of me. You know, everything. They're doing a little celebration for me over at the lounge.
That's wonderful.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and I'm playing golf tomorrow, and I got, you know, like I said, I won the raffle at the Embassy Suites, so I got a two-night stay over there, so that's cool, you know. So, yeah, everything's good. I've been enjoying it, and I'm on vacation.
That's awesome. If we were in California, we would be joining you, probably taking you out at least for a few drinks, you know.
There you go.
So, yeah, or some good food or something, you know. So
yeah.
Maybe one day we'll be able to get together so that we can make up for all the past celebrations that we couldn't get together,
Yeah, well, actually, you know, like I said, yeah, that would be great. You know, it's amazing. You know, so many people on Facebook, everybody came out and, you know, just wished me. And I just had to, I'm usually that guy that will sit up and thank everybody that I'll go through like 200 and just thank people personally because, it's you know, you took time out of your day to wish me a happy birthday. So I'm always very appreciative and thankful for that.
Wow.
So, it was great, yeah.
Cool. Now, do you mind us asking? What, you hit the big 3-0?
I ain't afraid to tell my age. Somebody tried to call me 60 yesterday. I said, hold on, homeboy. I ain't hit the 6-0. I am 57 years old.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
congratulations.
I am 6'5". Hey, and come tomorrow, I'll be out doing my 2.5 mile walk, hitting my weights and, continue exercising, taking care of the body. Oh, yeah. Eating good. Taking care of myself.
That's wonderful.
Hey, Mike, I told him, I said, I can't outrun Father Time, but I can sure slow him down.
No, you'll never outrun him. That's the damn
I'm
sure.
I'm slowing down as much as I can now.
Yeah, that's the only thing you can do is slow him down.
I like doing that because, when I hear about friends getting their toes cut off and everything, I'm like, oh, no, brother, no, not the shipster. And these guys are younger than me.
That's right.
They're getting their toes cut off. Yeah. I'm like, no. Got to change that, especially when I got good medical. I'm using my doctor.
Well, you have so many people who are afraid to go to the doctors. I just can't get it, you know. But I know a lot of people, especially men, who don't want to go get a physical or a colonoscopy or a test for, what is that, the prostate, You know,
yep.
They tried
prostate,
to
colonoscopy. I was on my way to get my colonoscopy when I ended up getting COVID. So I got to make a new appointment. My 5 years is up. So I'm supposed to get it every 5 years. I got my first one when I was 45. So, and I've always made sure that, you know, we're getting enough diet, make sure the diet is good, enough fiber. Because that's what it is with the prostate, a lot of fiber and, you know, making sure you're trying to live a, you know, eat a balanced meal and your exercise and stuff.
And colonoscopies aren't as painful at all like they used to be. They used to put air up in you and then stick a probe up there with no sedative or anything, and that was painful. But now it's nothing, you know?
Yeah, well, guys, everything is connected to being gay. That's why guys don't do it. Everything. Oh, I'm going to end up gay. No, you're not. That's between you and your doctor. Think about
right,
it. My
right.
friend said, oh, man, I can't do it. My doctor's finger's too big. I said, oh, come on, man. That's all they care about. That's all they care about. They worry about it. Oh, don't turn you gay. Whether it's a colonoscopy or prostate.
Wow.
They rather, a friend of mine told me, hey, man, hey, I just going to have to be with me, Chip, because I ain't ever going in and let them do that to me. I was like, oh, my God. Y'all just, where are you living in? Where are y'all living? Lee Anderthal, just you can't even believe it.
Yeah, me either. I have a couple of associates in the hospital right now fighting doctors. I said, you got to be nice to people because they could not answer when you ring that buzzer. And when you refuse medicine and stuff like that, they can make you go home. And then if you have to try to come back, do you think they want to take you? There's people out there that are seriously ill that need a hospital bed, and you in there cutting up.
Oh, hey. Yeah, I don't know what they, I don't know what you know. I just tell them I'm not having those conversations no more, Dan. I have no colonoscopies. About the vaccine, nothing. I'm not having those conversations because it's stupid. They don't make no sense.
Yeah.
They got a woman right now at my job trying to get some petition going about vaccine.
Go ahead. And this one lady to yesterday, I'm not going to mention names, but she said, oh, we can go on to the store. I had my shots, but my son got COVID, and he's in quarantine, but I had my shots, so the doctor said I'm okay. You can still get COVID. You might not die, but you can still get it. So why would I take chances going to the store with you?
Well, I'll say this, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I know one time I had a little health issue, and I was really concerned that I went to the doctor or went to the chain, and he checked me, and he said, oh, you have a, what do you call it, a hemorrhoid. I said, a what? He said, you got a hemorrhoid. I said, oh, my God, no. You got to be kidding me, you know. He had to send me over to the doctor, the specialist. And he sent me over there, and he examined, you know, he said, yeah, you do. He said, it's not that bad. I said, okay. He said, but you got to remove it. I said, okay. He comes with a ball of paper towel. He says, you might want to bite down on this. I think my teeth print were in there for about 4 or 5 days. I said, oh, my God.
You never told that one, Michael.
I know I never told it, but I don't mind telling the truth. You know what I mean? That's what happened. You know, I'm like, I had to get probed twice. First from the emergency doctor, then from the butt doctor. And he going to tell me, he come with this wad of paper towel. You might want to bite down on this. I thought they might have some kind of special tool for you to bite down on, you know, like a tongue guard or something so you don't bite your tongue off. But I said, Lord have mercy, never again. But, yeah, sure did. So I'm not afraid to go to a doctor. I'm not. Because you let stuff last too long, and it could have a long-term effect. It could have a domino.
Right.
Yeah. It could have a domino effect.
soon as I get, if I'm sick, I go right away. And I know there has been three or four times they said, if I hadn't have come in, I wouldn't have made it through the night.
Yeah,
and I got sick. Like within a few hours, I went from regular to severe, you know. So, I don't mind going. I don't mind getting shots. I don't mind doing tests.
Well, we're waiting for our guest to call in, Mr. Marquez Gaines. He said that he will be here shortly, so I'm waiting. Okay, so he said he'll be here at 7:30. All right, you guys, so let's get with him. He just texted me. He'll be here at 7:30. And Marquez, I mean, he's been on the show a couple of times. I mean, this guy, as we said, he's working with some of the best in the business, of course, of the Whispers, SWV, Tamar, you know, just a host of others. And always love when he chimes in. But he'll be with us at 7:30. So for all of you that are listening in, you stay tuned. It should be pretty interesting conversation. He's going to let us know what happened last Saturday at that concert here in Atlanta. I've seen clips of it. So that should be interesting. So let me take a look. The time is now 7:12, so we have about 15 more minutes before he joins us. Let me let him know. I know I got it, but okay. All right, so while we wait for Marquez to join us, I think we were talking about of the deal in Texas. What was your thought again on the abortion deal? Time in Texas, do you think that's going to have a ripple effect? Because already they're saying there are other states like Louisiana, even Georgia, and I think Oklahoma was mentioned. Yeah, in fact. But they're looking at adopting and this.
Well, I think that, you know, one, trying to control a woman's body and what a woman does has really been out of control. And, you know, and they're trying to make it a religious thing. They've been trying to control that. And then, you know, when the kids, you know, if that was the case, our foster care system wouldn't be so bad. Okay? If you care as much as you say, why is the foster system? How about, you know, you got women that probably don't want to have a child. And they should have a right. You can go to any other place, France, wherever. They ain't got no problem. You don't want that child. No problem, but it ain't a child yet. But they say it is, and so you got all these people who are trying to control what a woman does with her body, and it's always been that white boy doing that. And you got some black folks out there probably thinking about that too, but it's always been that white boy because they're worried about losing their identity anyway. Everything gonna be brown by 2040 or 2050 anyway, so they trying to hang on. But I don't believe in it.
Right. Before birth control came out, you know, you were just doing, you know, the basics like with the condoms and things like that, you know, and women were dying from trying to get an abortion. You know, people using coat hangers and some of everything, you know, and every time you looked around in the paper, you would read about somebody who end up dying from having an abortion. And so I thought it was a blessing when that came out because birth control came on the scene, you know, with the pills or the shots, and they had, you know, all these different things that you could do control having so many kids. You know, I'm just amazed at how you had certain presidents talking about welfare queens and trying to get people off the welfare, but now you're trying to turn around and have people with a whole lot of babies again that can't afford it, that end up having to be back on the social service.
Right.
And that was the thing that was said about this guy that here's all these men who are making this decision.
Mm-hmm.
And not one of us guys or any guy who ever comes on this phone can ever say what it's like to be pregnant.
No.
You just can't.
But why can't they pass a law saying the man got to have a vasectomy? You know, you don't want women to have babies, so pass a law saying they got to have a vasectomy after so many.
Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You want a man to get stiff, Jimmy? You know they ain't going to do that, Jimmy. Even though it would be simpler, but yeah, now I know I have some friends who have done it. I have some friends who have gotten, you know, that has happened, so, and they didn't have no problem with it.
But I saw a case where this guy has 17 kids. He's got 17 kids, and he was in court for child support, and he ain't even working. How many you got? Because the judge looked at it, you got 17 kids? He wanted assistance. He was asking for help. And he was a young dude.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. Hitting everything moving.
They showed a picture of him with his kids, with all 17 at one time. I said, Lord.
And he ain't got a damn dollar. That'd be like the guy that lived in East St. Louis, named Curtis Lely. Curtis Lely had about 7-8 women in the projects pregnant. And Kurt drove a 10-speed bike. Didn't have no car, rode a 10-speed bike, and they were all bragging. Curtis is spotting my baby. Curtis, you can shoot, girl, shoot. Curtis spotting my baby, too. Shoot, Curtis. I mean, if you saw Kurt's bike in the back in somebody's truck, Kurt was going to take care of it. Kurt was definitely a man that knew how to lay pipe, and he was gone, and they loved Kurt.
He was doing some serious gear shifting, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And you better not say nothing about Kurt. And even the mother, like, girl, my boy, my baby's got a baby by Kurt. Kurt is leaving. I was like, wow. And rode a 10-speed bike. Yes, he did. Didn't have a name. Never saw him work. But all them girls in the project loved him. From 16 years old all the way up. Hey, he was. And especially them church women, they were definitely going up from the church. They loved him. Oh, church. He would go to church, you know, and they'd see him ride off on his bike. But if his bike was parked in somebody's house, in front of someone's home, yep. Oh, that's Kurt's bike. They didn't even steal his bike, man. Everybody knew who Kurt was.
Don't steal Curtis's bike.
don't steal Kurt's bike, man. Yeah, that was in East St. Louis. You know, these guys having all these babies, but then all of a sudden they want to be self-righteous and say, oh, well, you know, we can't. Well, I don't believe in abortion. Well, then you also don't believe in paying child support either.
Right.
You know, you also don't believe in making sure kids got a college education either. But yet you said you're making these babies, and you ain't teaching them nothing. And you know, Mike, if y'all know if the boy ain't doing nothing, if you got a kid, he being raised, and he ain't got no guidance, he ain't doing nothing, he going to jail. I'm telling you what they're going to do. That was a given. He either going to be dead or he going to jail. If he ain't doing nothing with his life, they would tell you that automatically.
So have you known or heard of what Curtis is doing now? Is he still with the living?
That I don't know, Mike. That was so long ago. I don't know. You know. I don't even know about my friend Terry and Sugar and all those guys, man. And my friend Will and Hubbard, you know, that I wrote about in my book. You know. Because, you know, everybody's house is close to being condemned. So, hey, shoot, ain't nobody's house standing. They're just giant fields. Ain't no telling where they're at. Hopefully they moved on and you know, they're living better lives. Or dead.
Right.
They probably just, you know, yeah.
Right.
As
wow.
They say, down on Main Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're almost at the point that our well, almost time for our guest to join us. We got about another 19 minutes.
Okay.
Well, not quite. Yeah, about 9 minutes he's going to be joining us. For you people that are listening on the Internet, you can tune in to the show if you'd like to come online and chat with us. The number is 516-531-9661. That's 516-531-9661. Or if you want to get into the chat room, just go ahead and log in. It takes just a minute. Go ahead and get into the chat room and post your questions or comments there. I will read them on the air for you. Remember, you listen to CMGS here. Broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Simon's in Los Angeles, California. And, of course, Ms. Anna Davis is here in ATL also along with me here in Atlanta. Thank you for tuning in this Saturday. We appreciate it very much. Let's see. Janet drops, so she'll be chiming back in at the moment. All right, so with that being said, I think we're going to take a music break. So let's go ahead and do a quick music break, and we'll be right back. And we should have our guest joining us momentarily. And like I said, I'm in the process of relocating. So pretty much Apple Studio is shut down, so I'm doing the show from my phone, which I have not done but one time. So it's really interesting doing the phone call screen, the music screen, just everything, and looking up the topics all on your phone. There's a lot of scrolling going on here. We'll be right back, and you're listening to the TMGS. Here are the Whispers with Emergency. Welcome back to the PMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on your Saturday, broadcasting live from the ATL at Atlanta, Georgia. That was the mighty, as Don Cornese would say, the mighty Whispers. And that's the Keep On, Just Keep On Loving Me, Keep On Loving Me. Wow. I remember when that song first came out, and, you know, Whispers were just was killing it. They had all kinds of great songs out, all the great ballads, just back to back to back. And the Beat Goes On, Love Thing. That song came out. Everybody at the house party, they say, hey, Scott, everybody say, yeah. You know, that was a party song. That was a song. If you didn't get up on that, you just didn't have nobody to dance with. So that was the Whispers, well, Keep On Loving Me. Well, welcome back again to the show. And our guest, Marquez Gaines, should be joining us momentarily. Look for him on the board here. Janet has returned. Janet, you remember that cut?
I like the Whispers, but I really don't remember that one.
You don't remember that one? Oh, well that was a house party favorite. You know, it got quite a bit of radio play, that's for
sure.
Well,
Michael, I got married at a real young age and wasn't really going to house parties.
Yeah, I can understand that. You had a family to take care of, huh?
Amen.
Yeah, I definitely can understand that. All right, well, let's see. Timon had to jump off because he's got some things to do. He's celebrating his birthday all week long. So, again, happy birthday, Timon. Thank you for joining us. Still waiting on Marquez to join us. He said at 7:30. But in the meantime, let me take a look at something here, and I'm going to give you guys a little bit of information about what we're going to discuss. Last Saturday, here in the ATL, and people weren't too happy with the outcome of it. This was September the 14th of this year, and the article reads, people who attended the first large-scale concert at the Home Depot backyard say it was such a disaster to get their money back. Many fans who attended Saturday night's concert say their experience was horrible and they did not get what they paid for. In the video from the night of the concert, you can hear people chanting the word, refund, refund, refund. Quote, this was one of the biggest ripoffs I've seen, Reggie Nelson, who attended the concert, told Channel 2's Tom Jones. Everybody feels like they've been ripped off. A lot of people got up to leave before things were done. Nelson is also extremely bothered by the old school concert and says he wants a refund because it was such a disaster. People who left the concert early said the event was disorganized and they did not get what they were promised when they bought their tickets. They say the concert began 2 hours late, and lesser-known performers took up a lot of time on stage. Quote, my girlfriend came back from getting her drink. She was like, who are all these random acts we're listening to, Nelson said. Acts who were not scheduled to perform took the stage. Many in the crowd started booing when Johnny Gill, who was part of New Edition, came on stage and said he would not be performing. Quote, they must have said, Johnny, we don't have all your money, but we will give you something if you just go out and say hi to the crowd, said Cheryl Shiver, who was in the audience. People also complained about long lines to get food and drinks, which vendors also ran out of. There were also long lines at the restroom. Shiver says people should get their money back, but she doubts it will happen. Quote, we're not getting any money back, she said. We're not getting any money back, she said. Now, that's sad. That's really sad. Because a friend of mine said that they went and they had to wait like 4 hours for the show to start. That's a long wait. So let me go ahead and open up the mic to our guest who's going to let us know what happened, because he was there, of course, and because he manages the Whispers, and he can tell us exactly what went on and how everything went down. Please welcome to the show Mr. Marquez Gaines. What's happening, Marquez? How you doing, my brother?
What's going on, Michael? How you doing, man?
Hanging in there, my brother, man. So last Saturday, the Home Depot Backyard event, the first big outdoor concert event since COVID. Again, I have to ask you to let everybody know who Marquez Gaines is and who was on the bill as far as your artists and other artists that you also manage.
All right, y'all. I'm Marquez Gaines. I am the owner and CEO of Quez Entertainment. I'm a manager and an agent. Of this particular show, I acted as both. I acted as management and agent. Management with the Whispers, and then I was the agent that booked the Commodores and Kool & the Gang.
Right. So, total, how many acts were scheduled to perform that day?
National acts that we advertised were five, and then there was supposed to be three opening acts. There was supposed to be two local Atlanta acts and then Lavelle, which Lavelle is one of Frankie Beverly artists.
Okay, so a total of eight acts. Okay. So of the eight acts, how many did perform?
Seven.
Seven. So only one act. Okay.
Correct.
All right.
And that's Johnny Gill.
Right. All right. So take us back. What occurred in the beginning? Because I heard that there were some complaints about some artists now I've heard a lot of different things from different people, so I'm not sure what's true and what's not true. Tell us what happened, because I was told that there were no sound checks, or a lot of artists didn't get a chance to do a sound check. So take us back to Saturday. What happened, and when did you realize something was going to be wrong and when things got off track?
Well, the first thing I want to do is, if I could, I just want to take you back a little bit before Saturday. When I was contacted by a mutual friend of mine in the music business, he said, hey, I got this new production company, well, this new promoters, SMG Events, they want to do this show. They got the money. They want to do a big old school show. I said, okay, no problem. As I began, I'm going to skip around because this conversation could last forever. So I'm going to try to skip through to the important parts. They did everything professional. For those of you that are not in the industry, you may not know that the five national acts that were on this bill, none of them are cheap. They're all pretty expensive. And for a promoter to book this show, you have to have 50% of each person's fee before you can even promote the show. this promoter, SMG Events, they had that 50% deposit for each artist. They had that 2 days after our initial conversation and the contract signing. So that right there let us know that everything was on the up and up. When it came time to actually do all the advance work on it, as in getting our equipment, getting hotels, all that kind of stuff, SMG Events spared no expense. They got everybody exactly what they required, exactly what they asked for. This was not a problem. The day before, that Friday, as everybody's coming into town, our West Coast people are coming into town on Friday evening. That included the Whispers, that included Frankie Beverly and May's organization, who's half West Coast, half Atlanta. They came into town. Johnny Gill was in Dallas the night before, so he didn't get in town until Saturday. I think the Commodores got in town Friday night, and Kool & the Gang got there Saturday morning because they had a show somewhere else on Friday. Also, with Kool & the Gang, I've been working with Kool with his new champagne line. Kool has a new champagne line called Le Grand Kool. And
right.
This promoter was even nice enough to let us set up a Le Kool table, no extra fee. He didn't charge us for setting up. He didn't charge us for having our street team there advertising our after party at Spice House. This promoter was beyond accommodating. We had top-of-the-line hotels. We had top-of-the-line transportation. Everything was on the up and up. Friday evening, as I'm getting my calls together, I'm dealing with security now. This is part of the business. It's the day before. I'm having a security briefing, me as well as all the other managers. We're all on the call together. That's me, Joe Douglas, everybody's manager, Marvin McIntyre, we're all on this call. And the security is being handled by Safe, which is the company that handles Mercedes-Benz and the State Farm Arena. So there's no problem. Everything is fine. Saturday comes, we get in there, all our crews get there at about 8:45-ish maybe, 8:45 a.m. Everything's fine. We literally have five stacks of equipment. Right, so we didn't share, no band shared anything. If you've been in this business, you know that at some point you're going to end up sharing equipment with somebody. You always share a backline. You might share some keyboards, might share a couple of guitar amps or the drums or something. This guy, because equipment is really expensive, this guy didn't do that. Everybody had their own equipment. Where the show went wrong was the production crew that he hired. This production crew was mainly younger folks that I can say just by looking at them, they were in their 20s, maybe early 30s at the oldest. They had little to no enthusiasm. They moved slow. A lot of times they were on their phones texting. They didn't quite know what they were doing. They didn't know how to patch in certain things into the different boards. It was an issue. Now, between the five crews, you've got some heavy hitter text there. You know, you have some guys that have been in this game 30, 40 years, you know, and we all pitched in to help out whatever we can. But when we started pitching in, it was too late. And by then we're on a runaway train. And the question is, how can we get out of this alive? Not how can we stop the wreck, because you can't stop the wreck. Once we realized there was a problem at noon, it's too late. There's no way to stop this wreck. The only thing is to make the least amount of damage as possible. And The doors were supposed to open at 2. Show was supposed to start at 4. The show actually got started at, I would say, 5:30. And the first act, which was the Whispers, I got them on stage at 5:55. All right? The production crew didn't know what they were doing. The promoter actually wanted to scrap the Whispers in an effort to make sure that the two main headliners went on, which is Frankie Beverly and Maze and Kool & the Gang. This venue has a strict curfew of 10:30. So once we realized the problem we were in and nobody did a sound check and we were up to 4 o'clock, the promoter said, let's just not do the Whispers. Now, there was never an issue with money. When we all got there at 8:45, this promoter settled with us at 9:15 in the morning. So everybody had their money. There was never a question about money, not once, not once. We all were settled with at 9:15 in the morning. So before the gates even opened, we all had our settlements. So when he was talking about scrapping the Whispers, if you know anything about the Whispers, they care about their fans over anything. So the decision was made that we were going to perform. So the promoter said, well, how are we going to handle your equipment? And me and the production manager, Alonzo Ward, the Whispers production manager, who I'm also working with tonight at this festival that I'm at on the West Coast, we made the decision that just put our equipment up here and then we would put it together ourselves. And we did. Mm-hmm. We put our equipment together ourselves. We patched it all in. Luckily, like I said, in the Whispers crew, we got about four of us that have been in the business a combined of over 100 and something years. So we were able to hook it up relatively easy. It took about 30 to 45 minutes. Once we got it all together, we were ready to do our show. In an effort of time, the promoter says, listen, we were all scheduled to do 45 minutes. Whispers, Commodores, Johnny Gill, 45 minutes apiece. Kool & the Gang was going to do an hour. Frankie was going to do 90 minutes. That was the initial setup, which if anybody knows about Frankie Beverly and Maze, that's their standard show, 90 minutes. So when it came down to it, it's like 5:45. The promoter says, listen, I got to have Frankie Beverly and Maze. I got to have Kool & the Gang. Don't go up there and do the whole 45 minutes. I said, not a problem. So Whispers and the band had a conversation. We got up there. We did 22 minutes, right? I'm not going to lie to you. We did 22 minutes. We got on stage at 5:55. We were off at 6:17. However, if you really read some of the reviews, that was some of the best 22 minutes of the show, because in that 22 minutes, we got in the majority of our hits. We got in we started off with It's a Love Thing. We went into Lady. Then we went into Rocksteady. Went into Olivia, and then we closed it out on And the Beat Goes On. So we did what we came to do. And as soon as I got at Whispers off stage, I got him back to the hotel because I didn't want a problem. But as the night went on, people don't understand production, right? The fans don't understand that. So it's a lot of work to transition from the Whispers to the Commodores. That's a lot of work. On a normal show, you can probably do that transition in probably 30 minutes, right? But this is a production crew that seemed to be inexperienced and kind of sluggish, so they struggled. Well, in the effort to keep the show going and to keep the crowd entertained, those opening acts that were supposed to go first, they put them on in between the Whispers and the Commodores because they were on tracks. They didn't have bands. So they performed while, like if you look at the videos, the production crew is still working behind them setting up the Commodores equipment. And so that's where the confusion came in for the fans. And then we also had, now mind you, I'm an agent and a manager on this show, and I don't even know how this happened. I don't know where Surface came from. I really don't. All of a sudden, I saw the two fellas from the group Surface there. And next thing I know, the promoter says, well, they're going to go up before the Commodores. And I'm looking like, what? Like, where did Surface come from? So Surface went on stage. They did about 20 minutes. Commodores didn't get on stage until 8, right? So now we're in a pickle. Johnny Gill gets there. Johnny has Ronnie DeVoe with him from New Edition and BBD. We're all talking because we're old friends. We've known each other for years. Johnny makes a decision he's not going to perform because he said this crowd is going to go crazy if they don't get Frankie Beverly and Kool & the Gang. And I agreed, right. But me and Marvin McIntyre told him the best thing for you to do is for you to get on that stage and let the crowd know what's going on so that you don't get the brunt end of it, of them saying you didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Johnny did. He went on stage. He sung the first line of My, 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 explained what was going on. The crowd got upset. They started booing. A couple of people threw some things. Ronnie went over to the DJ, told him to spin Poison. They spun Poison. Ronnie did a little bit of Poison. That was the end of that. Kool & the Gang, the Commodores only performed for about 20 minutes as well. They did three songs. Kool & the Gang doesn't get up there until 9:15-ish. They only do four songs. They did about 20, 25 minutes. By this time, it's 10-something, and city officials are like, hey, the show has to be done at 10:30, but if there's no Frankie Beverly, the crowd is going to go ballistic. So they extended them grace until 11 instead of 10:30. By the time they did that switchover from Kool & the Gang to Frankie Beverly, which if you guys ever seen Kool & the Gang, it's 100 horns on stage. It's 100 keyboards. It's two guitar players, a bass player, two drummers, mm-hmm. a percussionist. It's a lot. So when they did that transition from Kool & the Gang to Frankie, they weren't set and ready for Frankie until 10:45. So Frankie got on stage. He did Joy and Pain and Before I Let Go, and then he explained to the crowd what was happening, and it was over. So that's
wow.
what happened on Saturday.
Wow.
What a story.
What a story. I'm glad that you shared it. Now, we have 8 minutes left on the show, and I want to try to use every minute with this. So, but there was a push for refunds. Did that ever occur?
So the way SMG is handling it, they're handling it by case-by-case basis. I don't know what that means. That's outside of my jurisdiction. What I can tell you is there's a moral issue and then there's a legal issue, right? Legally, technically legally, they don't have to give back full refunds because everybody performed except Johnny Gill. So legally, they don't have to give back refunds. But morally, they should, because some people, you know, they want to see Frankie Beverly and Mae. You know, you came and you saw Frankie for 10 minutes? That's insane. You know, you saw The Whispers for 20 minutes. You saw The Commodores for, what, I think it was 18 minutes? That's insane. Morally, you should give everybody refunds. But legally, they don't have to because everybody did perform, with the exception of Johnny Gill.
Can I ask a question? This is Janet. Why do you don't know why they let that group that wasn't supposed to perform perform? I don't
yes,
understand
ma'am.
The reason.
I have no idea. That's outside of my jurisdiction. I wasn't the promoter, so I wasn't in charge of the show. I booked The Whispers, The Commodores, and Kool & the Gang. And I also am part of the management team for The Whispers. So I don't know why they had surfaced there. I just know that I'm standing in the backstage area with Marvin McIntyre. We're laughing and joking. And then Surface walks up with these blue bedazzled suits on. Next thing I know, the promoter's like, Surface is going to go on stage. I'm like, okay, like, whatever, I guess. But, yeah, I think that was an added bonus that he was trying to do. Because I do know he was trying to get some other folks, too. Like, he was trying to get Sherelle, because Sherelle is – she lives in Atlanta. So he was trying to get her as an extra bonus, but I think she was working somewhere else. So that didn't work. So I think that's how he ended up getting Surface. And it would have worked out well if everybody else would have performed their normal times, I guess.
Right. Wow. Wow. Yeah, because I know if I only saw a few minutes of – each performer. I mean, at least they did give a sample of songs, and you know, but you're expecting a show, and then you just get a taste. So that's crazy. Oh my. Well, I was surprised that you said 7 of the 8 performed, because from all the chatter on the news and on the internet, it looked like it was a bust. Like nobody really should, you know, perform. But that's not true.
No, it's not true. And unfortunately, there's a thing that happens at concerts where people don't get there on time. They're going to miss the first couple of people anyway. And that's kind of what happened with The Whispers. Even though we went on stage 55 minutes after our scheduled time, we still had a lot of fans that didn't see The Whispers because our Instagram and Facebook pages blew up. People were like, oh, my God, I spent $300 and I didn't see y'all. And we're like, we went on at 5:55. I don't know what to tell you. Like, we can't do what we're supposed to do. But it happens, unfortunately. When you have a show that big and, you know, some people just don't get there in time for whatever reason, whether it's personal issues, traffic, parking, whatever. But everybody did do what they were supposed to do. We were all there. We were all excited to perform. We were all excited to see each other. The majority of us hadn't seen each other in 2 years or a year and a half. Like with Frankie, I hadn't seen Frankie. Well, I did. I saw Frankie like 2 weeks ago on a personal note. But performance-wise, I hadn't seen Frankie in years, which is insane. I normally see Frankie at least once a month. you know. So we were all excited and we were all ready and we were all, like, cheering each other on. Like, everybody was going to stay the whole day to watch everybody perform because a lot of us are family. But it just didn't work out.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw Queenie about, I think it's been about 3 years ago. I saw him in Birmingham at the Magic City Classic, Karen White Open, and then the Whispers, and then Frankie Beverly and Mays perform at the Magic City Classic Open in Birmingham. And by the way, I want to ask, now, I understood that, unfortunately, Scotty wasn't able to make it. How is he doing now?
Scotty is doing well. I spoke to him today, and I'm going to actually lay my eyes on him on Tuesday. No, on Monday, I'm sorry, when I get to Los Angeles. So he's doing well. If all things go well, we should hopefully have him back on the road October 1st in Connecticut at the Foxwoods Casino.
Fantastic. Well, we're glad to hear that. Hey, Marquez, I thank you so much for coming on and sharing what really happened. So everybody that's listening, there's the truth about what occurred last Saturday. And I just really like the fact that you're able to share that because so to get all the false information out of the way, that it wasn't an issue in the way that some folks say it was, that every group mm-hmm. was able to perform. The only one who wasn't was Johnny Gill, and the way it was handled. A lot of folks are saying that that was just a class act way that he handled it. So I'm glad of that. Hey, so thanks again. What's coming up on your end now? What do we or what should we be looking forward to with the Whispers and your other artists?
Okay, so the Whispers are have new music coming out. We're actually looking at a mid-October release. So maybe like around the 15th or the 20th of October, we'll have a new single entitled "It's Been Too Long." That will be coming to you. With my other artists, I'm actually working with Mr. Jeff Robinson and MBK Entertainment, as well as Live Nation. We're doing the artist Her. We're doing her festivals, the Lights On Festival. We're in the Bay Area today, in Concord, California today and tomorrow. And then also in October, we'll be taking this festival to Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. So those are the big things that I'm working on right now.
Fantastic. Man, thank you so much for joining us and sharing that information. We got about 30 seconds to go. I want to thank Janet Davis, Time and Ship, everyone else that's chimed in and listened to the show on this Saturday. Thank you to our guest, Mr. Marquez Game. Marquez, hope to see you soon. All right, my brother?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, all Mike, right. And I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. Hey, you guys, enjoy the rest of your weekend. That's it for us here in the ATL, the TMGS. Good night. Have the rest of your weekend a blessed one. Goodbye.